Congress.
We'll put something related to two successive Prakim in Parshas Bar, describing the questioning of the children, which is featured the night of the Haggadah, the night of the Seder, and the four sons. Chazal adopted four different sections and voiced them to four different children. But two of these sections appear in close proximity in Parshas Bo, one in Perek Yud Beis and one in Perek Yud Gimel. In Perek Yud Gimel, the storytelling is not in response to any particular question. As opposed to Perek Yud Beis, which is more classically the Haggadah setting, where the answer is in reply to questioning and probing from the children. Perek Yud Beis, source number one, Kahaya kimur lehem menechem, ma avodah zos lechem, the markings of a Pesach, which is why, of course, Perek Yud Gimel is the town. You can't really question. There's no question. So from this, Rav Lichtenstein stressed to us the importance of telling our story and teaching our Torah, not merely in response to questions and inquiries from children or other people, but just telling our story and articulating what we believe in, what our values are. Very simple enough message. But to me, it was always striking that one of Rav Lichtenstein's great legacies was the volume of mechanchim, the sheer volume of mechanchim and rabbanim that he produced over his 50 or so years, 55, 60 years of education, both in the United States and in Israel. In many ways, I think more so than Rabbi Soloveitchik. And the irony is that Rabbi Soloveitchik had smicha for Rabbi Matachi Yeshiva University. Obviously, that produced thousands of rabbanim. But you know, the Lichtenstein was so adamant for so many of us to enter chinuch, to enter rabbanus. So many of us who entered the yeshiva without a hint or an interest at all to consider these fields, he literally turned our heads on the swivel and made us take this career path very seriously in an age, I think a generation ago, wasn't as popular. Today, Baruch Hashem, education or things have become much more popular, they're much more remunerative. But in our day, it still was seen as a profession you backed into. It wasn't for those of talent to be choosing. Just the sheer force of his personality, the sheer talent, was very persuasive to us. In addition, he's being very vocal and overt about trying to convince so many of us that we're being interested in chinuch and to tell the story, and just to answer questions sporadically or from time to time, but to really be tellers of our story to our people. He responded to, or he articulated, if you take a look at source number two, the setting for that question. There's no question, but the setting for the story are implicit questions that emerge when we enter the land of Israel. So obviously this is describing the first entry into Israel after the journey through the desert, but he saw this as a metaphor that when Jews return to Israel, they return with questions about religion. This return to the land of Israel is such a transformative, such a pivotal moment in our history that we look back on pre-Israel history and we have questions about ritual, questions about religion, and he spoke with us about the modern era, which so many people in 1948 looked back at the last 2,000 years, what they called rabbinic history, and saw it as obsolete for so many people, saw it as quaint, saw it as outdated. That ritual, that religion was vital in a pre-state era, which was necessary as the core of national identity, of national consciousness. But now our national identity is geographic, our national identity is political, our national identity is we have an army, we have a state, we have a people. What value is there to ritual and to religion? And the Torah is prescient, the Torah is predicting that every time we turn to Eretz Yisrael, it's incumbent upon the leaders who return to redistill and reformulate religion. He didn't speak about this, but certainly the precedent of Ezra. Ezra overhauled religion at the very base level. He reformatted the fonts of the Torah. He introduced Ksav Ashuris. He reestablished Kriyas HaTorah. He made alterations to Kriyas HaTorah. He read publicly in the squares, Nehemiah Parakhes describes. So Ezra suddenly had a sense that religion and its ancient formulas was no longer sufficient. It had to be redistilled so that a new generation returning to Israel would find it relevant and we find it compelling. Now, on a personal level, for so many of us in this room who made Aliyah, and we're struggling with that culture gap with our children, and is our legacy, and is our heritage still relevant? We're not products, for many of us in this adult room, we're not products necessarily of the educational system in this country. We didn't attend the high schools, we didn't serve in the army, many of us, and we're struggling to render our past and our experiences relevant to our children and convey this tradition as they enter the land of Eretz Yisrael and to retell that story. I think we all saw in the Buchlins in that sense that he was so relevant. When I speak to Americans, I hear them bemoaning, had only Rav Lichtenstein remained in America, it would have been a different country. He would have had so much more of an impact. He was hailed as the Rav's successor. And he abandoned the American community by moving to Israel. But from my perspective, as an American who moved to Israel, he made a tremendous, radical change in the entire Hasidic world. The Hasidic world in the early 70s, as it was evolving, was dominated by Rav Cook's Talmidim. Talmidim that had been taught in Merkaz HaRav and were influenced by Rav Cook. And Rav Lichtenstein managed to inspirit the entire Hasidic world with the Lithuanian tradition. And I'm not sure how prominent that tradition would have been in the absence of Rav Lichtenstein's presence. So the sense of the transition figure and transferring that Torah and the rich tradition that we all were educated by, inspired by, and transferring it to this new reality in Eretz Yisrael, which is a challenging task. It's not just moving from Spain to Poland. It's not just moving from Poland to Russia. But it's a change of consciousness as we're moving from exile to a redemptive era, to an era in which issues such as state, nationhood, and redemption become very compelling. Well, what relevance is there to a Tosfos, and what relevance is there to a Minhag, and what relevance is there to stories of the Chayim, and stories of the Gomazon, especially in an era where some of these stories and details may not be as valued. So he pointed out this preface of V'eki V'acha Hashem Alkecha L'Ezek Nani V'achiti V'mani V'achiti. Finally, the Torah selects the Korban Pesach, Ma Avod Azaz Lochem, as the prism through which our story is told. Why is the Korban Pesach so relevant? Why is it so relevant? Because the Korban Pesach obviously is an eternal mitzvah, mitzvahs are timeless, but it's a unique mitzvah because it changes. The Gemara says in Pesachim, the last source, that there were several rituals surrounding the first Korban Pesach which lasted only 1 year. Purchasing it on the 10th only applied to Pesach Mitzrayim. Applying the blood to the doorposts only applied in Pesach Mitzrayim. The Agudas Ezo only applied in Pesach Mitzrayim. Eating it hastily, in accelerated fashion, it wasn't only Pesach Mitzrayim. So this is the quintessential model. Because on the one hand, the mitzvah remains intact. The mitzvah is timeless. It can't be simply altered by convenience or whim. But they change. The core remains intact, but they can be innovated. They can be adapted. And of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu installs this adaptation to the various Xeris Exorcists, but it remains a model. And so many people struggle with this question. Who was this man? Was he an innovator, or was he a resistor to change? Was he a preserver? Was he a progressive liberal, or was he conservative? It's a very good question. I don't remember, I was thinking to myself today, I don't remember ever hearing Rav Lichtenstein give me a clue. I certainly don't remember. Every time I went to ask him a halacha question, he was always machmir. You knew not to ask him. You need to ask other people, because there's one chumrah after another. So there's a strict, unflinching, uncompromising adherence to halacha, to the timelessness of Torah. And in certain areas, he was very progressive. In certain areas of social affairs, the public agenda. My sense is that the core of Torah and Yerushalayim had to be held intact by chumrah, sisag l'Torah, in public affairs, and how we forge communities, and how we adapt change. Yeah, I think you can afford to be a little progressive once the core is intact. If the core isn't intact, the entire center would collapse. But I think we always try to encourage us, when we talk about change and adaptation, be very, very careful to calibrate it in balance. That's just change based on convenience, not to change with bombast and loud announcements. I think I was thinking to myself, just I also teach in the Megillah's issue. There are literal hundreds of young women that make their way through this yeshiva on an annual basis. And this is a yeshiva that was forged about 15 years ago without a lot of fanfare and announcements and titles and headlines that sometimes are very attractive to other agents trying to carve out women's roles in Judaism. And I'm no way denigrating or critiquing them. I'm saying the Lichtenstein style is always very quiet, but things evolve. Certain changes are maybe necessary and vital, but our community is not yet ready for it. The change has to evolve. And certainly our adherence to Minhag, remember us once asking him, Rebbe, if our parents had Minhag Tos, should we abdicate those Minhag? And he said, absolutely not. If our parents have Minhag, we should keep those Minhag. The only two Minhag he encouraged us to change, and I don't want to pass it for anyone, was the double dalet on the back of the tefillin that he was supposed to. So even if that's your parents' Minhag, you should change it to a single dalet. And eating in the Sukkot Shmini Atzeres. He felt that was a corruption, and you should be Kutzar's opposition. You should eat Yisili Yasminan, Ruchel Lamavachina. So he's very, very delicate. And we sensed in him a real preserver of tradition. I mentioned last night the secular authors he quoted. He tended to quote authors who faced waves of secularization. People in the 16th century and the 18th century in particular, not necessarily Jews, who were resisting secularizing tendencies. And these were, I'd say, wacky, obscure Cardinal Newman and Whitehead and obscure writers from the 16th. There was one common refrain. They spoke about religion and tradition and resisting change, but with open-mindedness and complexity and sophistication. They weren't hard-nosed fundamentalists with blinders on. They weren't addicts to change just for the sake of change. The people who were establishing sophisticated, intelligent positions, resisting, but knowing that Torah has to evolve to maintain its relevancy. So he spoke about three different issues when he contrasted these two Pesukim in Parshas Bo. Number one, the need to tell our story, not only to respond to questions, but to be proactive in spreading our Torah. Number two, the struggle transitioning into Eretz Yisrael and how it forces us to reformulate and to question and to try to rediscover the relevance of our past of Avos Hashem. In particular, it's a very delicate balance. Mitzvos obviously are timeless, but our general experience, I can't tell you that in 100 years, most of the peoples in this room's descendants will still keep kiddush. I imagine that there's going to be a slow erosion. We're already starting to see it. Our children will marry Sephardim, and things will change. But right now, we're certainly not ready to advocate kiddush. It's certainly not for the reasons that are being floated, simply because we're in Eretz Yisrael and all the pre-state history and minhag is all just obsolete and irrelevant. At some point, we still need the apparatus and the machinery we're based in. It's not really like Zera, but it's a minhag. But these are things that take time, and somehow there's a timing issue that you may have started away. That's it. Yeah.